Holiday Club this year has been very busy, as I said. 93 children at it and 21 teenagers in the evening. And throughout this week, we've been learning all sorts of different things about creation, taking each of the days of creation as a theme for our day and linking them to some of the amazing stories of Peter, of people's encounters with Jesus, asking the question, who is Jesus? And why should we respond to him? Now, throughout the week, the children have been learning a memory verse, and the memory verse is going to be our reading for today. And it comes from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and the first three verses, or most of verse 3, verses 1 to the first part of verse 3. And this is what the children have been learning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Well, these words that come from the beginning of the Gospel of John are important words for us. And I guess that out of all the four Gospels, John is my favourite, because the Gospel of John, of course, is written by the disciple closest to the Lord Jesus. When we read Matthew's Gospel, we read through the eyes of one who was a devout disciple. When we read the Gospels of Mark and Luke, we read through the eyes of dedicated believers who knew and loved the Lord, but who gathered much of their information through the eyewitness testimony of other people. But when we read John, we read the words of the disciple who, as Scripture says, who reclined upon Jesus' chest at table. He was one of that inner circle, along with James and Peter, who was with Jesus in Jesus' most intimate circumstances and moments. John was one who heard more than any of the others. He was one who witnessed more than any of the others. He was one of the Lord Jesus' closest friends. And therefore, when we open John's Gospel, we do so in anticipation of what the disciple whom Jesus loved will say to us. Now, John is very selective in what he includes, and his selections point to a distinct purpose, one that he provides for us towards the end of the Gospel in chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. He says, in his purpose statement, which he gives in chapter 20, two primary reasons for his writing. Firstly, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And secondly, that believing you may have life. And so John's purpose in his gospel centers on telling us, firstly, who Jesus is, and secondly, why we should believe in him. Who and why? So let's take these three verses, and we'll take the first two together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You see, John begins his Gospel in a very unusual manner, because unlike the other writers who begin their accounts of Jesus in a historical context, giving long lists of genealogy, John opens his Gospel in eternity. In the beginning, he says. And under divine inspiration, John was not content to begin his story as Mark did with the story of John the Baptist, nor was it enough, as Luke did, to go back to the birth narratives of John and Jesus. And John did not even go back with Matthew to the genealogy of Abraham and the roots of Israel, or with Luke to the beginning of the human race in Adam. John moves beyond human history. He starts in the beginning. I wonder if these words sound familiar to you, because they take us back, right back to the start of the book of Genesis, which we've also been thinking, or particularly thinking about in the Holiday Club this week. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, John starts with God. And in the Bible, you cannot go any further back than God. Even with the discovery of the Higgs boson, the Higgs field this week, that field that scientists think gives mass to all matter, you still have a step beyond that. You cannot go any further back than God, though. And John takes us right back to God. He starts with God. He starts in the eternal past with God's eternal purpose. And what does John tell us? In the beginning, he says, was the Word. Now, we need to recognize the significance of what John says here. In the beginning, from all eternity, the Word has existed. In other words, the Word has existed eternally. And it doesn't take an intelligent person to recognize that whoever the Word is, he must be of great importance. So who is the Word in this text? Better yet, why did John choose to identify the individual as the Word instead of just giving us his name? Well, let's talk briefly about this term, the Word. You see, the original word that translates word is the term logos. And while logos is not a well-known English word, it was very, very common in first century Greek. And it's a word that John employs to capture the minds and capture the attention of a very diverse audience. To the Greek people, the logos represented the whole soul of the universe. It was the rational principle from which everything came. It was a creative, stabilizing, governing force of the universe, much like the force that we hear so much of in the film Star Wars. And to the Hebrew people, Logos was identified with the Word of God, the Bible. In the Old Testament, the Word of God is connected with God's active power. His Word represented his actions in creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Or if we turn to the Psalms, again and again and again in the Psalms we hear of God creating. Let me read Psalm 33. Psalm 33 in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. So the Word represented God's actions in creation. The Word represented God's revelation. God's Word came to the prophets. It represented deliverance and comfort and guidance and judgment. The Word of God represents God's actions, God's self-revelation, how God revealed himself and how God acted. And so when John in his Gospel, right at the start of his Gospel, uses the term logos, Word, it is a term that appeals to both the Greek and to the Hebrew. It's a term that captured the attention of the Greek philosophers and the Jewish scholars and the average citizens. It was a word that was familiar to all of them. But what does John tell us about the Word in these first few verses of his Gospel? Now that he's captured the attention of his audience, what does he tell us about the Word? Well, John identifies the Word by describing him. And here in these three verses, we notice three divine traits of the Word. But firstly, the Word is eternally God. John states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And in these few words, John informs us that the Word has existed from all eternity. At the beginning of time, the Word was there with God. The Word has existed eternally. He already was when time began. And at creation, the Word was already present. And also John states that the Word was with God, face to face with God. John indicates that the Word is separate and distinguishable from the Father. He is a separate person. He was there with God. 1 John, in his letter, 1 John 1 verse 2, the Word of life was with the Father and was manifested to us. And so in just a few simple but profound words, John offers us a glimpse of the Trinity. The Word has existed from eternity past, and yet at the same time, He's a separate person from the Father. He is eternal, yet separate. So the Word is eternally God. And then secondly, the Word is equally God. Those final five words at the end of verse 1 are some of the most important words in the whole of Scripture in understanding who Jesus is. And the Word was God. Not a God, as folks like the Jehovah's Witnesses would have you believe. Proper Greek syntax will not allow for that. He was God. As much as the Father is God, even so the Word is God. He was with God, and He was God. He is equal with the Father, and the Word was God. So the Word is eternally God, and the Word is equally God. And thirdly, the Word is essentially God. What John tells us in these three short verses is that everything that makes God who He is, everything that makes God God, the Word already possesses. In other words, the Word is God in His very essence, His nature. And while He is separate from the Father in His personhood, He is one with God in His essence. Now the meaning of this verse is not merely that the Word possessed divine qualities or characteristics, but that the Word participates in the reality we call God. The Word was true deity. The Word is God. And what we have here is the mystery of the Trinity. God is three in one. He is three persons, but one in essence. The Word is with God, separate from Him, yet at the same time He is God. And elsewhere we see these same characteristics attributed to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as we say. So John informs us that Jesus Christ is God, for of course he is writing of Jesus, his friend. Jesus is eternally God. There was never a time when Jesus the Son was not God. He did not become God by some decree of the Father. He was always God. He supersedes the created order. He is equally God. The Word is as much God as the Father. And He is essentially God. Everything that makes God who He is, the Word possesses. His very nature is that of God. The Word is God. Who is Jesus? He is God. Believe in Him. And then, secondly, we're called to believe on Jesus Christ because He is Creator. John chapter 1, verse 3, through Him all things were made. You see, in verse 3, John turns from the Word's relationship with the Father to His relationship with the creation. And the Apostle John informs us that not only was the Word present at creation, He was also the agent of creation. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything that exists owes its existence to the Word. He is the Creator. Apart from Him, there is no existence. And it's no accident when John moves from the Word as God to the Word as Creator. One New Testament theologian wrote this: the self-communication of God occurs first of all in creation. That is why salvation and creation are very closely connected in the New Testament. Both of them have to do with God's self-communication. So what are the two primary ways God has revealed Himself? Well, firstly, of course, through creation. It's a kind of natural revelation. And secondly, through His Word, special revelation, through the Scripture and through the Saviour. You see, God's revelation is tied to creation. And in the evenings at the holiday club, the teenagers have been thinking about the vastness of the universe, thinking about the the galaxy that we are part of, some of the immensity of the stars in that galaxy that dwarf our own sun and dwarf us and make us feel, realize how small we actually are in a vast universe and how very much God reaches out to be with us, for he loves us in all of his vast creation. God's revelation is tied to creation. And John informs us that all of creation owes its existence to the Son of God. And therefore nothing is outside of his range of activity. He's in control of everything. He's Lord over everything. He's the creator of the world. He holds the deeds. He holds the copyright. Colossians 1 verse 15 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes this: He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So we believe on Jesus because he is the creator. He is God. Believe in him. You see, in his gospel, John continually reminds us that the message of Jesus demands a response. It demands our response. A response of belief or unbelief. And we are forced into that decision even in the opening verses of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Will I believe Jesus is who John claims he is? Who is Jesus? And why should I believe in him? Well, he is the Son of God, God himself. He is the creator of the world. And in Jesus the Creator became part of the creation in order that by his death and his resurrection, you and I may be given life and life in all its fullness. Let's pray.